So I'd like you to read two things on lunch, but I want to go over them now because they're so important to what you said, which is really critical. The first is to share with you the context of my work, which is listed in the three living questions. And in those questions is contained what I consider three definitions of healing that I want to bring mindfulness to. And I want you just to think about them and reflect on them on your lunch hour. So I'm going to explain to you my three living questions. In the afternoon, I'll give you a sense of how I came to that in terms of my professional development of how I integrate these things. But the first question is, tell me your story. How'd you get like this? What happened to you? I want you to know your story. This is called narrative medicine. Like, not that you want to get into it and relive it, and, you know, that's not where I'm coming from, but I can't imagine not knowing that my father suffered from post-traumatic stress and was a soldier in the war, and that I inherited his trauma epigenetically. That means whatever it means, but it's an important understanding for who I am. Where did I come from? What am I carrying, and how did it affect me? So we want to know what our story is without wallowing in it or blaming it or getting lost in it. So I ask people, tell me your story. How'd you get like this? What happened? And a lot of people don't know that. Now, I'm saying it in the context of being a holistic doctor, where people have this disease or this ailment, and they only come in as, what's going to work for this? And how am I going to fix this? And how do I get rid of that? And I go, okay, I want to help heal you and cure you and fix you, and I can help in a different ways, but let's start with, who are you before we jump in? What's the story? Tell me your story. So that's number one. Definition of healing from Larry Doocy. One does not become, healing is not the matter of setting the molecules straight. It's helping the person in need of healing into an experience of wholeness. When you are meditating, you are being whole. You're welcoming everything. You're not pushing this away. You're not judging that. You're not saying, well, this is good and that's bad. Wholeness. You're embracing all of it. The whole is greater than the sum of its parts. Too much of medicine and healing is cutting this out and pushing that away, or making this happen. And no, transformation has to take place in the whole person way, their consciousness, their mind, their body, their spirit, in a way that integrates. That doesn't mean don't take a drug. It doesn't mean don't do this treatment. It doesn't mean don't do this therapy. It means what's the integrated whole context that does that. And that's what Doocy was saying. Healing is not paint by the numbers. So that's why I don't think it works or doesn't work. It's integrated into who that person is and what they need for their journey. That's number one. Second question. Are you willing to listen? What is meditation? It's listening to your mind, listening to your body, the thoughts that arise, the feelings that come, the despair that shows up, the hope. Can I be with it without it pulling me into a dark hole? And I find the strength in me to be present with it. That's the mindfulness that we practice. That's the compassion. The second definition of healing is Stephen Levine, a meditation teacher. Have you heard of Stephen Levine? Works on who dies, death, and dying. He said the following. If there is a single definition of healing, it is to touch with mercy and awareness those pains from which we have withdrawn in judgment and dismay. That's what trauma is. Cutting off, withdrawing from the pain because we can't deal with it. So we get angry, we get scared, we get shamed, we get helpless, and it's hard. It's happened 10 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, but we haven't processed it yet. It's unresolved conflicts and unconscious anxieties and unfulfilled potentials that's still living with us. As a doctor, mind-body-wise, I know it's also living in your fat, in your irritable bowel, in your migraine headaches, in your cancer, in your heart disease. Not to say that don't treat it, of course, but look at the whole person in a holistic way. So that's the second question. Are you willing to listen? That's what meditation is, listening. Compassionate listening. Sitting here, oh, look at those thoughts. Let me listen to the sensations in the body and let me be present with, oh, here comes despair and here comes, but I see it. I don't judge it. I'm not pushing it away. I'm relating to it, whether it's the anger or the trying so hard. I'm changing how I look at it and be with it. And I'm developing, Larry, the confidence that I can face it. without it taking over. A little at a time, toe in the water, not jumping in because I don't know how to swim yet. Toe in the water, it's too cold, taking it out. Window of tolerance. I'm going to give you the handout on lunch as well to look at. Okay? The third question, which is the essence of mindfulness practice. How can I be with my pain in a way that is wise, compassionate, and healing? That's what our practice is. And awakening. That's what I've been teaching you this morning, or talking about, or experiencing. How to be with it. Simple. Mindfully and compassionately. Not to get anywhere, not to strive to make anything happen, just to be with the truth. Who has a good voice? Would like to read the third definition of healing by Krishnamurti. That's where I get, it's the truth that liberates, not your effort to be free. Give her a nice microphone and speak loudly and clearly.
How can I be with my pain
Perfect.
Of mind, body, and spirit in a way that is wise, compassionate, and healing? Keep going.
Yeah, I want you to read the quote from Krishnamurti. That was the point.
When the mind is still, tranquil, not seeking any answer or solution even, neither resisting nor avoiding, it is only then that there can be a regeneration, because then the mind is capable of perceiving what is true, and it is the truth that liberates, not our effort to be free.
The degree to which we practice mindfulness and compassion, be with our truth, our anger, our struggles, it transforms us if we let go of the effort and the striving to get free. That's the paradox. That's the challenge. That's what the practice is, to decondition us from doing it to get someplace else, where the healing is to be where we are. But as Larry shared, that's not so easy when it opens us to real pain that we've had a hard time being with. So we have to learn how to do that in a very gentle, sensitive, compassionate, trauma-sensitive way, by being aware that that's there. We don't want to continue avoiding it, but we want to practice in a way that will allow that transformation. Now I want to read to you this tricycle article. This embodies everything I've been saying in the context of how Gavin Harrison dealt with his childhood trauma, having AIDS, his shame, his grief, his pain. He wrote a book. He's a meditation teacher, In the Lap of the Buddha, Transformation Through Suffering. Integrated all of this stuff. And this article was in Tricycle Magazine back in 1990 or something of that nature that I saved. So it has my little scribbling on it because that's the only thing I have left. But I want to read it to you, and I want you to reflect on it. Okay? And at lunch, you can look at that, and I'm going to give you one more handout on the window of tolerance, which is something very important. Glad you raised what you did, Larry, of how do we find that place where we don't get hyper-aroused into despair or anger or depression and resistance on hypo-arousal, but how do we stay in the window? And guess what are the tools we use to modulate, self-regulate? You ever hear that term? What do you think we use for self-regulation? Mindfulness, awareness, compassion. That's all of the training. That's all of the DBT skills are teaching people who've been traumatized to put their toe in the water and to recognize the edges of what they can handle or not. And you learn, you know, you don't, child needs to swim, you don't throw them in the pool. You allow them to learn at their own pace of what's comfortable for them. So I'm going to give you that handout. So read along with me, Tricycle. I think that one of the reasons your book has had an impact is that it is a very explicitly told tale of transformation through suffering. But it must be difficult to keep telling the story without identifying with it. How engaged do you feel with your story? Now, remember, going back to the living questions, underneath was the last quote from Jung. If you turn around for 1 second, it says, "You are not what happened to you. You are what you choose to become." So even though you want to know what happened, we're here to learn choices and resources of who we're becoming, of which is our true self. Gavin Harrison, presently more disengaged than I've ever been. The whole area of abuse most often feels like a non-issue now. I'm not for one moment saying that I've transcended it, but the experience, the pattern of conditioning, is now dealt with very effectively in meditation practice when it arises, when my buttons are pushed. When you feel the fear and you feel the rage in meditation, there's no storyline. There's just the experience of the arising and passing away of the emotions and the sensations in the body and seeing how they relate to one another. And in that seeing, the abused person becomes less and less a victim of what's going on because you realize that you have choices that weren't available to you before. Having choices is a liberating experience. That's what you shared about your anger. I have a choice. I can be with it differently. And it was liberating. It was an epiphany of sorts, a shift in that way of seeing. And I could feel, as you shared it with me, that you felt that shift. And there could still be anger there, but it's not the same. You know, just like I work with a patient who has cancer and they're afraid and they come, I got to get rid of my fear. Like, no, it's not about getting rid of your fear. It's relating to it. And they might say, you know, I still have cancer and I'm still afraid, but something changed. What changes? I can be with my fear in a different way. It's quite practically speaking, if you have cancer and a bad diagnosis in the sense of it's appropriate for you to have some fear. The question is how to be with the fear so it doesn't paralyze you from living your life. He goes on to say, but those choices are coming out of a way of dealing with it that has nothing to do with the story. Gavin, the infant who was abused or at boarding school beaten with a hose pipe and that sort of thing. Meditation practice is about the experience of what is, of what's going on. That is what is liberating. And this truth is quite beyond the story. In that shift in your relationship, there was no more story. It was just the truth of the anger and seeing it and relating to it in a different way. That's my point. We get so caught. But it's important to know the story as well. So read the rest of this. And I'm going to give you this on the window of tolerance, because we'll talk about some skills and tools to apply in a way to help you answering Larry's question. How do I heal my shame, my grief, my hopelessness, my helplessness? How do I sort that out so it doesn't all come at the same time? This particular handout is self-explanatory. It's on the window of tolerance, which is, how do we find that place where we can be with it without getting hyper-aroused or hypo-aroused? And how do we recognize that? And guess what the main tool is to help us stay in the window of tolerance? Mindfulness and compassion. That's how we work with it, with trauma. Not exclusively. You might need a friend. You might need a therapist. You might need 12 steps. You might need a doctor. You might need medicine. This is not be-all, cure-all, but it's a very powerful, empowering tool. And I'm hoping that you would leave here today feeling more hopeful, more empowered, and more self-loving, deserving, because that's what gets in the way.